his house and worship him in spirit and in truth. Y'all may be seated. Sing a song for you. You know, we face the storms of life, and he promised he'd go with us. Out on the waters, storm raging high, waters around them, they were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts as they felt they would die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. He spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters, they obey his will. He calmed the storm like he will mine. If I just remember that he lives deep inside, why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, he always stays near? He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible, when he walked with them, he brought light to darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be to have his footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. When trials come and death seems so near, I'll call on the Master. I know he'll be there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he always stays near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Because I've been so faithful, but because you've been so good. You've always been there for me to supply my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there in all my pain. thy footsteps a shelter from the rain, for it was you who made my life complete. You are to me, oh, my everything, and that is why I sing. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. You're the joy of my salvation. You're the peace in my storm. Your loving arms protect me, a shelter from all harm. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're my strong tower, everything that is, for it was you who made my life complete. You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you were in there. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you were in there. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you were in there. Jesus, I love you. Let's all stand tonight. I just love him so much. And I'm in love with him. I love him so much, saints of God. He's done so many wonderful things for us. And even in the storms, he's right there for us. I want us to turn tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, as I said before. And I'm glad to be a part of this meeting. And I pray tomorrow night that it's even better, and Sunday it's even better. I'm in a great host of, as the scripture says, we're encamped about a great host of witnesses tonight. So, Brother Jerry and Brother Samuel, God bless you both. Be not just acquaintances, but friends. I want us to turn in our Bibles tonight to St. John 7:42, and while you're there, move over to the Old Testament, to 2 Samuel 23, verse 14. If I could title this tonight, a drink offering. A drink offering. A drink offering. St. John 7:42. Has not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Now turn with me to 2 Samuel 23, verse 14. This is King David, and David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And three mighty men break through the host of Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. We'll find out why. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I would do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And we're going to notice they were Gentiles. Let's just bow our heads in our heart tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're the supreme being, Lord. You're both Lord and Christ. And Father, the hour has arrived that we can say it's a fact that God and Christ are one. And now, Father, we can even go further and say, it's a fact that Christ and the bride are now one. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, take control of this service, Lord. May your anointing flow richly. May it touch our hearts. May your servant here, Lord, be obedient to your will tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we could gather together. We thank you that this place of worship exists. Father, take control of this service. Again, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the saints of God can say, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You all may be seated. Brother Branham tells us in the message called God's Gifts Always Find Their Place. And as I start out and lay a foundation a little bit, he says, Christ is our Bethlehem. And I could prove that every man that's born of God is born in Bethlehem because it means God's house of bread. Amen. And that comes by new birth. Amen. And because Christ is Bethlehem. He said, and that's what he was, the bread of life. And Beth means house, and El is God. And Elohim is Elhim, which means bread and house of God's bread. And Jesus was the house of God's bread. And bread of eternal life. And every man that's born into Christ, you're born into Bethlehem. And God's house of bread. And how that's the leagues of these churches today is garrisoned like Philistines to keep the people away from it. Now, Brother Branham gives us a description, saints of God, when he's preaching here. And how the garrison of Philistines, there was something about the area of Bethlehem and the province of Judah, the tribe of Judah that had to be protected. And the Israelite army, I was thinking about this coming over, the Israelite army knew somehow it had to be protected because it had the greatest wells of water and it grew the best wheat that there was. So it was the breadbasket of Israel. And their surrounding, there was the garrison of Philistines, and Brother Branham equates that, and he brings that to a comparison of us today, how churches are keeping people from the house of God's bread. They're keeping you away from a new birth. They're keeping you away from this. And, you know, as I preach this, and I say this now, we not only have churches of that manner, which is part of the ecumenical council. Brother Branham said they're all going in. And therefore, we also have garrisoned around us on the other side of us. There are the people that have defected out of the message. And I want to tell you, they're causing great harm, saints of God. So it would behoove us tonight in our spiritual makeup, in our spiritual being, to take what we have to take, amen. And we have to still bring the king a drink. Amen. And we've got to fight our way through this garrison of Philistines tonight. We've got to be a fortified army. Now is no time to lay down your armor. It's time to pick up your armor as never before. Amen. We have to fight our way through this, saints of God. And let me say this. Let me bring this in very strongly. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, our weapons of warfare are not carnal. We have to have spirit. We have to be fortified with the mind of Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God on our life to cut through this that we have to battle out there. Every time I preach, I dedicate the sermon to the young people. Because they're the ones that Satan wants to get the most. And let me say this, young people, tonight, if you do not follow the Lord in this manner, you saying you're giving threats, brother. No, I'm giving you the word of God. You have a path in front of you of illegitimate children that you're hardly not a father to and can't afford to support. Therefore, the government has to support them. Your children's mothers have to get food stamps, live off of this, live off of this, live off of this. You're looking at multiple divorces. You're looking at jail time. You're looking at coming out of jail with a felony. This is what awaits you if you do not choose to garrison yourself in the word of God, which is our Bethlehem. Amen. This is what the world offers you that you might want to hang out. Yet you have the greatest opportunity as a young person to follow the Lord like King David and take the Lord. David loved to go to the house of the Lord and worship. He loved God so much. He was such in love with the Lord God Almighty. He loved to be in his presence. He loved to sing about him. He loved to worship him. He loved to have the word come through him. And you have the greatest opportunity of that. God has put you in a place of the greatest message that ever has existed. Because it is a message to rapture a people out of here. Saints of God, we're not just going into another church age. We're not just forming another denomination. This is not just a brand of movement. This is the end time. After this age, there will be no more. After we leave here, the bride of Christ gets raptured. There's only 3.5 years left, and that's to the nation of Israel. You say, Brother Bo, I'll go through the tribulation and take my chance. Let me tell you, you go through the tribulation period, there's no blood. The blood's gone to Israel. There's no more blood. There's no more power. There's no more Christ for the Gentile people. He has gone to Israel. As I said last night, God help anybody that has to bear the tribulation. Brother Branham brings this out here. He said, I wonder today, why does men want to smoke cigarettes? Why does people want to stay home on Wednesday night and watch TV instead of going to prayer meeting? Why is it? Because there's no joy in the house of the Lord. Now, saints, I'm going to tell you something. I like to be the first. Now, back at home, I'm the first one to church, and I'm the last one to leave. I believe the house of the Lord should be a house of joy. It should be where you come to church. You can't wait to get there. Amen. I can remember years ago when we first come to the message, Lord, we would get out of the cars and we'd watch the people get out of the cars and the people wouldn't even shut the car doors. They let the car doors shut themselves. They were so enthused about coming to church. And Brother Branham said, we are a specially prepared people. Amen. Enthusiasm lies inside of us to get to worship him. To get to hear that word. Amen. To feast on that body word carcass of the Son of Man. Brother Bram says here, notice as I continue. He said, because there's no joy in the house of the Lord. What makes a person want to drink and run around and act like that? Because we don't have any God. It's because there's no joy in the house of the Lord. It's because the Holy Spirit isn't ready to bless us. We're going to other places for pleasure. Instead of coming to the house of the Lord for pleasure. The house of the Lord is joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is in his people. Amen. Saints, this is the type of message people we need today. No, I'm not reading you from Pentecostal theology or Wesley or Luther. I'm reading you from the message of the hour. He wants you to come to church, worship him, be happy, be satisfied, give him praise, give him honor, give him glory, wisdom and might and power to God. He wants you to be. What could be any greater? What could be, well, Brother Bo, I mean, I'd rather stay home and watch this and that and the other, and I'd rather do this. I'd rather hang out in Nashville. Let me tell you, I wouldn't. Amen. That brings trouble. This don't. This brings getting out of here. Saints, it's time to bride. You know, I was thinking about it, and I wanted to quote it last night, but it kind of slipped my mind. And Brother Branham preached a sermon back in 1949 called The Deity of Jesus Christ on Christmas Day, December 25th, 1949. If you read that book or hear that tape, that sounds almost, Brother Samuel, like it was preached in 1965. He said, now listen to this. He said, it's time for us to come out. Now, everybody whoever wants to do whatever now, it's time that everybody comes out now, right? This is the hour, everybody. It's time for us. Amen. Let me tell you, Brother Brown was a little premature on that, but he was a prophet and he was seeing it now. It is time for us to come out who we are. Amen. Are you ready tonight? You ready to come out? Amen. You're no longer church, you're bride. Amen. You got to come out as bride tonight. Declare who you are. I am bride. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. It is time we come out. It is time we stand up. Sorry, people. I don't want to stand in the corner. Well, you know, I don't know, Brother Bo. I hear this. I don't even know if I'm saved. And I don't know if I know I ain't got the Holy Ghost. You've been in the message 30 years. You ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. What do you believe in the Holy Ghost to be? What do you expect it to be? Huh? What do you expect the Holy Ghost to be, saints? All the teaching, all the great pastors and the great ministers we got today of the message and a prophet of God, and you still don't know what the Holy Ghost is to receive it? Well, Brother Bo, I've been in the message 30 years and I still ain't ready. Well, I'm sorry, I am. Now, Brother Bram says here, notice David, now getting waters, he never drank it. He said, God forbid, this is the blood of these men that jeopardize their lives. And to bring him the drink, watch, he poured it upon the ground for a drink offering to God. Now, we'll go back and find where this originated from, but it was customary that you pour out a drink offering to God, and we're going to find what that means today. He says, notice, men and brethren, rise your faith up, Brother Branham said. He refused to drink it to himself. He poured it on the ground for a drink offering. David was not being a smart aleck. David was not trying to pull rank, I'm the king, and no, I can do what I want. He was offering it to God. 3 mighty Gentile warriors went and sacrificed their lives for a king of Israel, an Israelite, a Jew. Then those warriors grabbed their swords, and David cried out for a fresh drink. And they cut their way through 15 miles of men to get him a drink of water. And David poured it upon the ground as a sacrifice, a drink offering. Yes, warriors today, I'm one of them. Amen. Who wants to be a warrior today? Well, I ain't a preacher, Brother Bo. I'm just that. Well, you can still be a warrior for God. Amen. Not everybody's called to be a captain in the army, right? Amen. What happens when you got too many captains? Amen. You got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Right? Everybody can't carry the ball in the church. Amen. Am I right? Come on, pastors. Jesus wants a drink. Now listen to this now. Jesus wants a drink today of good old-fashioned Pentecostal fresh water. Woo. Now we got to take that. Brother Bill, we need to take that out. I mean, we don't use that word. We're not Pentecostal. Well, this is what I tell folks. I am Pentecostal from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I am not Pentecostal by denomination. I am not Pentecostal by doctrine. Let me add one step further. I am not messaged by a message doctrine. Because you go around repeating and you want to hear one message doctrine over and over and over, a certain message doctrine, and there's a lot of them out there, and they're wrong interpretations. And I have found when people want to hear one thing over and over and over again, it's usually wrong. Amen. Because I believe a certain message doctrine don't make me message. Amen. But I am Pentecostal from the top of my head. I am message from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm not Pentecostal by denomination. I'm not Pentecostal by doctrine. I'm Pentecostal and message by experience. I have had an ultimate experience with God. I was telling Brother Jerry today, I met God personally. I have met the pillar of fire. Let me throw something at you, preachers. And anybody in your church that's got the call of God on their life, I wonder why this is not used today. Brother Branham said 4 to 6 times, a man should not be behind the pulpit until he had a pillar of fire experience. Now, we will blister and crucify a man's wife. They don't feel she's pastor's wife material. We will hang pastor's kids upside down and expect them to be perfect as perfect can be. When kids are kids, just like anybody else's. But I wonder why, Brother Bill, we never hear it used in message churches, the qualifying factor where Brother Branham said, oh, Brother Bo, Timothy didn't say that, but wait a minute. We had a prophet come in this hour that pulled things out of the Old Testament and brought them in the New Testament. Uh-huh. And the definition of an age prophet that Brother Branham was, a prophet is a divine interpreter of the word. Can I get amen on that? So Brother Branham pulled that out of the Old Testament of Moses. Plus, as I preached here a couple Sundays ago, he added it and brought it on the absolute. When Brother Branham preached the absolute, he talked and he took his scriptural text from Paul's experience with the Lord Jesus. He didn't bring it on Paul's knowledge, Paul, how much Paul knew, how much Paul studied under Gamaliel. He brought it from the experience, saints of God. It's not how much you think you know. It's not how much you can memorize. It's how much experience with this word you have had in this hour. But I wonder why Brother Samuel wouldn't use that anymore as a qualifying factor for a minister. I hadn't heard it yet. I've been preaching 26 years. No, more than 28 years. And I've been around the message for almost 50 years. I wonder why that's never used. Huh? I wonder why. Wonder why when we go to select a minister or a pastor in a message church, wonder why we never ask that question. Come on, saints, let's come up higher. Well, Brother Bo, I don't believe that, but I'm sorry you don't believe that. That's in the message. Amen. Now, Jesus wants a drink of good old-fashioned, fresh Pentecostal water. Uh-huh. Yeah. These denominational stagnated water is sickening to him. Anything that's added to the pure, unadulterated word of God becomes sickening to God. I want to tell you, saints, God is very choosy in this hour. He's very selective in this hour. He only wants pure. And there's no excuse because he sent us a prophet in this hour to give us the pure, unadulterated word of God. No one else can give it. No one, it can't come from anywhere else in the Christian world today. All is corrupt. All is polluted. Amen. This is why he has got to have a fresh drink. He said, pull it through all the word of God till we can hit the place where there's a fresh drink for him. Real, true worship, genuine hearts where he can pour down and his word can live in this day. Look, it don't live just in the Bible. That's just words. That's logos. We want rhema to live, saints. Amen. Word is divided into two portions, W-O-R-D. There's logos to it. Amen. Which is the written word, which is the concept, which is the idea that God brings down. And true, the logos has come down in this hour. But also rhema is when the voice in the inside of a living being speaks out. Amen. We need rhema to come out today. We need true worship. He said he would restore the faith of the fathers that was once to given of the saints. And Malachi 4 says it will come and it will be there. You know, let me say this. I told the people the other day, you cannot be a real apostolic until you come through Malachi 4:5's message. And I was talking to the sister and brother from Ohio last night, how we sort of come through the same kind of channels. I grew up in the Church of Jesus Christ, which is a oneness, Jesus only, movement, and its counterpart is the United Pentecostal Church. And we called ourselves apostolic. We called it, our pastor had a big sign outside, School of the Apostles Doctrine, Apostolic Faith. And they think because they baptize according to Acts 2:38, and because they do this or that or the other, they feel as though they're apostolic. Well, let me tell you, to be apostolic today is to come through the message of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Because it is the message and the only message that can restore you to the faith that was once delivered to the apostolic fathers. Amen. And over in the book of Jude, we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now see, the Christian world out here today, they contend for the faith that was delivered at Nicaea 325. Now you history guys and girls, come on now. They contend for Orthodox Christianity. Orthodox Christianity is Christianity based upon the voting and the agreement of the Nicene Council, where the Emperor Constantine presided over and wasn't even a Christian. And they voted on the Trinity doctrine. They call that the Nicene Creed, and therefore they call that Orthodox Christianity. Well, let me tell you, we go 300 years before Orthodox Christianity, and we contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, not Emperor Constantine. Amen. We don't. The rest of the world does. Oh, we believe in three divine persons in the Godhead that are eternally coexistence. Well, let me tell you, that means you got three persons who were always there. And that is a lie. First of all, it's not three, it's one. Am I right? Notice, Brother Adam said, notice in there. David's desire was to have a fresh drink. He probably had some old lukewarm, stagnated water up there he was drinking. But he happened to think of the fresh water down there in Bethlehem. Amen. See, that's what we have to think of, fresh water in this message. See, our Bethlehem has come to us today. We have left Nicaea, and we have come to Bethlehem. Amen? We have left the Nicene Creed. We have now come back to Bethlehem. The feasting of the body word of the Son of Man takes us to Bethlehem. We feast upon the body word of the Son of Man out of Bethlehem. God's house of bread, not God's house of leaven. Amen. Brother Adam said, here, notice. He said, oh, David, the godly man, said, God forbid that I would drink from these friends and put their life in jeopardy. And he made a drink offering and poured it out upon the ground. Give it to the Lord. He's the one worthy, not me. Oh, my. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. As we look at this tonight, we want to see the grace of God. And last night we dealt with a lot of predestination. Predestination is based on foreknowledge. that God has an attribute about himself. God has a quality about himself that we do not have. God can foresee, we can't. Amen. We can guess. We can, well, I think this is going to happen. I think Hillary's going to be the next president. I think Rubio might get it. I think Ben Carson might get it. I think Donald Trump might get it. I think this might happen. I think this might happen. All right, that's all guesswork, saints of God. That's about the best we can do now. Amen. But notice, God can foresee. And God, through foreknowledge, does this. Now listen now. Now here we're going to read the laws of God. This is God's Mosaic law, or the law that he sent down to Moses now. Now notice now, as I just said and as we just saw, these three men that went and fought and got this drink for David were Gentile warriors. Deuteronomy 23 verse 1. He that is wounded in the stones or has his private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard shall not enter in the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Bless the word of the Lord forever. That's the word of the Lord. That's the Mosaic law. Amen. Then we come and we find that these three men were Gentiles, which should not even have been involved in serving the king. Then we come to find out that Bathsheba, where are you going, Brother Bo? Look, y'all looking at me funny. I'm going straight up tonight, okay? Amen. Bathsheba's husband was Uriah. He was not Uriah. He was not a Jew. The woman that he took as Bathsheba to become the queen of Israel. Isn't it amazing? She became the queen of Israel. She still remained the queen of Israel even after David died and Solomon was king. Ooh. Therefore, God somehow calls his predestinated forth, whether they're Jew or Gentile. God overrides his own laws to get a predestinated seed. Let's go back now. Come on now. Come on, Bible scholars. Rahab the harlot married Salmon. What was her race or nationality? Gentile. She was Boaz's mother. And Salmon was his father. Okay? Who is Boaz a type of? Christ. Boaz marries this widow named Ruth, who was a Moabitess. And after Balaam, Brother Bill, did what he did, amen, God cursed Moab in such a terrible way. Yet, Ruth delivers this child, Obed. Obed delivers or is the seed line for Jesse. Jesse is the seed line for David. David is the seed line for Christ. Isn't this amazing, saints? Isn't this amazing? You see how God's grace is when for the elect, he goes beyond boundaries. You say, Brother Bo, that's just after Jesus shed his blood. I'm going to talk about it. Let me say, saints, we kind of put all grace in the New Testament and law in the Old Testament. There's plenty of grace in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Isaiah 56 verse 1. Now here's the prophet Isaiah catching the spirit of the Lord, catching the mind of the Lord to bring it to pass what went out in Deuteronomy 23 that we just read. Lord have mercy, all these Gentile people are showing up in the kingdom of Israel and they got prominent positions. My, I thought God didn't want that. Lord, have mercy. Uriah was a very prominent man in the army of David. Was a Gentile. Gentile warriors fighting for the king to get him a drink. Lord, David's grandmother, great-grandmother was Ruth. Lord, have mercy. She was a Moabitess. His great-great-grandmother was a harlot. Rahab the who? Harlot. But what does God do, saints of God? When God chooses a predestinated seed, oh, listen to this carefully. When God, Brother Samuel, when God chooses a predestinated seed, he elevates and changes their status to son and daughter of God. Rahab was no longer Rahab the harlot. Her union with Salmon brought her into the economy of God's Israel. Amen. Ruth was a Moabitess, and history says she was even a Moabitess priestess that sacrificed children even. And here she comes out and she goes into Israel and she goes through the process of justification. She goes through the process of sanctification. She goes through the process of the Holy Spirit. Then Ruth is rewarded with the seven sealed book. Listen to me carefully. And then she has this child and brings this child forth. Obed, who begot Jesse, who begot David, who begot King Solomon. And we go on, we follow that lineage all the way down through Mary and Joseph to Christ our Lord. Isaiah 56:1 says, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this. That's us. And the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hands from doing any evil. Neither let the son of stranger that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. So God comes into the separated people. Who were the separated people? Gentiles, amen. Who was the eunuch, as we described? All of them, they no longer have to say, I'm nothing no more. They can come in. Verse 4, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them I will give in my house and my walls a place and a name better than the sons and of daughters. These were people, Brother Jerry, that were outcasts. They had no part in the salvation of God to his people, Israel. He says here, notice in verse 6, and also sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him. That's us. Now listen, we can relate all of this now. We can join in all these scriptures now. Amen. With sons of strangers. Amen. We're all strangers to God. But he sounded us. He founded us. And what do? We join ourselves to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now is the time for not only Christ and God to be one. Now is the time for the bride in Christ to be one. Amen. Now is the time, young people tonight, now's the time not to join yourself to the world out there. Because it's a difference even when I was growing up. What you have out there now, hell has unleashed her gates. The Bible said hell has enlarged her gates. Hell has come up on earth. Till you got hellish looking things in churches now. There's a church out our way. They built a great big superstructure. I've seen it on their website. They have their services archived on their website. You go in and it's like a theater. And they dim the lights and they give all type of colored lights. And their services come out. And the song, the praise team. I believe in a praise team. I think it's a wonderful idea to have a praise team. They come out and they got these red tennis shoes on. And they got these socks on that are red. And they got red pants. And they got their hair orange, blue, green, yellow.
They got black lipstick on and black eye, this and that and the other, black fingernails. And they come out and lead praise and worship with floodlights going on. Then the pastor comes out riding a bicycle. He puts the kickstand down and he turns the handlebars this way. And he gets on a stool and talks. And then they all go over the fellowship hall in about a half hour. And they all have donuts and coffee. And they call that church. That's what the world offers you. I can remember when I worked for Social Security 5 years ago, our boss would not hire pierced tongues and piercings all over the body and black fingernails and black all over here, black all over this, and gothic look and everything like that. Come on now, saints. That Brother Samuel, that won't even fly in corporate business world. But yet it flies in church. The next service, Brother David, the pastor comes out pulling a wagon. The next service come out with a ladder, step ladder, and he kind of climbed the ladder and kind of stood or sat on the ladder somehow and preached. They think that's cool. This type of preaching, like me, a man running around with a microphone in his hand all sweating and carrying on and head turning, they think I'm out of an insane asylum. But I'll tell you what it is, I'm full of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm glad I preach like this. Verse 7, Isaiah 56, 7. In them I will bring to my holy mountain. Oh, what is the holy mountain? Take me to the holy mountain. Give me faith. Give me virtue. Give me knowledge. Give me temperance. Come on, climb me up. Cap my life off. Amen. That's our holy mountain, Brother Bill. Take us up. Amen. Let those virtues of Christ live inside. We're promised that in this hour, saints. He said, I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of the prayer. Make them joyful now. Of course, you know, we love to come to church now and sit there. I told the people sometime, why are y'all looking at the floor while we're trying to praise and worship? Holy Ghost down ain't on the floor. The Bible said, keep looking up. Ain't that scripture, Brother Bill? Come on now. Why you want to look at the floor? Lord, have mercy. He said, I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of the Lord or house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. All people. All people. The Lord which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet I will gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. You say, Brother Bo, that sounds totally contrary. No, this is God's elect right here. Brother Bram said, may we go with the sword. It's glittering in the air. Cut away every weight and everything else, saints. Come on, we got to run the race. Yes, laying aside every weight that should beset us. Now's the time. This means you got to run. You got to run and make 100 because 99 and a half won't do. You got to run to make 100. See, back in the days of Greece and Rome, when Paul was writing this, and Paul wrote this over in the book of Hebrews, they used to have Olympic runners. And they would spend hours and days and actually weeks training to run in the Olympic. And for hours, they would have a masseur would come and he would rub this special oil in all their joints and their legs and their feet. So oil would be applied to their body parts so they could run that much more swifter. Amen. Come on, let's type it today. We've got a Holy Ghost that massages us with oil, saints of God, so that we can run this race more and more and more and more in this hour. Now's not the time to slow down. Now's not the time to quit, saints of God. A quitter is not a winner, and a winner is not a quitter. Amen. Brother Brown said, may we go with a sword glittering. See, we've got a sword today. A prophet of God took a sword. And he opened that mountain. Remember Junior Jackson's great dream. And light has never shone on this before. Open that. See, and what it takes today, takes a sword of the word of this hour to go between your spirit and your soul, which are so close together, to divide asunder. See, brothers and sisters, we're preaching, we're living, we're in a time of a third pull message. Amen. You can't expect to live this message under a first pull experience. You can't expect to live this message under a second pull experience. It takes a third pull experience where the word, the sword of God, goes in between the spirit and the soul, which, Brother Bill, are so close together that only the word of this hour can separate it. Pentecost, brother Pentecost, Brother Paul, Pentecost couldn't separate it. Pentecost went as far as the spirit realm. They could not, their message could not open and divide asunder the soul from the spirit. But this message can. Too many people are trying to live this message and serve this message with a first and second pull experience. You're only going to end up confused, aggravated, disappointed. Disappointed at everybody else. Disappointed at yourself. Brother Ram said, notice. He said, let the people drink from a fountain. A real, cool, refreshing Pentecostal blessing. I know a lot of people don't like the word Pentecostal. Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, wait a minute, Brother Bo. You said last night we're worship under the seventh seal. Absolutely. We are. Well, how can you pull Pentecostal worship under the seventh seal? Well, let me ask you this. When you first come in the message, you didn't pull away from Luther, did you? You didn't pull away from Wesley, did you? Pentecost taught us how to worship. It's just now we take the frolic out of it. We take the Who Struck John out of it. We take all the razzmatazz of it, and we concentrate on one focus, the Lord Jesus. But yet, and I hope you agree with me, Pentecost taught us how to worship, saints. Come on now. Brother Bo, this message calls everybody. I know it calls everybody, but let me tell you, if you come right out of the Catholic Church into this message, you got a lot of catching up to do. You come right out of a Lutheran church, a Presbyterian style worship, you got a lot of catching up to do. Amen. Ooh, and the church said, say amen on me or ouch. Brother Brown said, those men pulled their swords and fought 15 miles of Philistines because he asked them to. But because they knew he wanted it, they cut them Philistines all the way to the well. While the two of them fought, the other one got the bucket of water and fought their way back, all the way back, and handed it to King David. Talk about gallant. Let's go to the well and bring back a drink. A refreshment, a worship. See, this is our seventh seal worship. A worship that's built upon not creeds and denominations. All right. Amen. This is how to worship under the seventh seal. But a genuine spirit worship with Christ among us. See, Pentecost always didn't have Christ among us, among them. Right? Brother Bram said they took on their, you could take on your pastor's spirit. You could act like your pastor. Sometimes, a lot of times, pastors on always have the spirit of Christ. Am I right? I've seen them when they don't. I told a pastor one time, don't get in a pulpit like that. You're angry, you're mad. I was the president of the trustee board. Don't get in the pulpit like that. You're mad, your wife's mad, you're mad. You're gonna do more harm up there than good. He wouldn't listen to me. Of course, pastors don't have to listen to trustees, right? But it would have behooved him if he would have. We're worshiping a genuine spirit of worship with Christ among us, living his life the way he wants to among us. See, Pentecost can't do that. We can. I want us to turn to Genesis 35, verse 13. This is our first indication in the Bible of a drink offering being poured out. This is where it originated from as we go into this tonight. It's Friday. Our work week is over. Amen. We got our mind made up. We got our heart set right. We're on the way to our Canaan land, and the devil can't stop us. Here's where it originated from. Genesis 35, 13. And when God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Now notice, as we read last night, Jacob's name was changed to Israel in chapter 32, but Jacob was not ready to walk in that name. Just like many of us, amen, how many years, amen, we heard this message, we believed this message, but we really weren't ready to walk as bride yet. Come on now, everybody's got to admit that now. Amen. Amen, from church to bride. Now we come up in Genesis 35, and God tells Jacob again, your name shall be called Israel. Jacob walks in that henceforth. And it was after his name was changed to Israel that he poured out a drink offering. Not as Jacob, but as Israel. Hallelujah. All saints of God, we're the ones that can really give him a drink offering tonight, because our name has been changed from church to bride. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord tonight. Notice drink offerings. Drink offerings were required on feasts and sacred days as part of daily offerings. Exodus 29, 41, Numbers 28, 7 through 8. And we go through the feast days, Feast of the First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles, Passover, Sabbath offerings, monthly offerings, Feast of the Trumpets, Day of Atonement, occasions for making a drink offering. So it was a common worshipful practice in the days of Israel to offer drink offerings to the Lord. Oh, I guess, Brother Bo, we don't have to do anything like that today. Well, I want to tell you, we got to do it on a higher level today. They poured out literal water and oil and different water. We got to pour out ourselves. Now, here's an indication. Turn with me to Numbers 6, verse 13. When one took a Nazarite vow, actually, Brother Branham said, you sisters, because you refuse to cut your hair, you actually take a Nazarite vow. I'm not talking about trimming the ends off. I'm not talking about making it, letting it look long, but still trim it. That's not long hair.
No, that's right.
Well, it looks long. She's got long hair. It's cut straight across the back, though. Now, Numbers 6, verse 13. And this is the law of the Nazarites, that when the days of the separation are fulfilled, he shall brought forth unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall offer his offering unto the Lord. One he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for a peace offering. And a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering, and their drink offerings. It was part of worship. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord. With the basket of unleavened bread, the priest shall offer this also his meat offering and his drink offering. The priest had to do it also. You know, pastors have to offer also. All right, ministers. Now turn with me to Jeremiah 7, verse 18. Now, when you don't want to offer up a drink offering to the Lord, you're going to find something else to offer up a drink offering to. Now, Brother Phil, when we cross over into the New Testament, things become magnified and elevated. For instance, in the Old Testament, if a man physically committed adultery with a woman, it was the sin of adultery. In the New Testament, all he's got to do is look at a woman and lusteth after her, and he's already done it. Amen? In the Old Testament, if a man physically murdered another man or woman, it was charged to him as murder. In the New Testament, all you got to do is kill your brother's influence, and you've murdered him already. How many people are going to be charged with murder? Now, a drink offering of the New Testament, in the New Testament, which we are, we're New Testament people, is where you pour out yourself. You pour out yourself unto the Lord. You've got to pour out your whole being unto him. That's your drink offering. You hear me, church? We're required to give him a drink offering. Brother Brown said we are. Pentecostal water. We got to give our total self, all the way from the bottom of her heart. I can remember my mother used to teach me, and she said, you know, you got to love people from the bottom of your heart. Well, let me tell you, you got to love the Lord from the bottom of your heart. You got to offer him a drink offering from the bottom of your heart, not just from your lips. If you don't give him a drink offering, you will give a drink offering to some other thing. Jeremiah 7:18. Jeremiah was the lamenting prophet. It was Judah in her falling away days before the Babylonian captivity. The children gather wood and the fathers kindle fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven. Who? The queen of heaven. And to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Now see, if you don't pour yourself out to Jesus Christ in this hour, you're going to find somebody else or something else to pour yourself out. It may be a girl worshiping her boyfriend, pouring herself out to him, a boy pouring himself out to this girl, a husband pouring himself out to the wife. And I realize there's pouring out in marriage and giving of one to the other and become unison and become one in thought even. Lord, have mercy. There's times on Sunday morning I'll go down the hall and get dressed, and Joyce will get dressed in this room and all. And Lord, we'll both come out with the same colors on.
Yeah.
And I didn't even tell her what color I was going to wear. She certainly didn't tell me what color she was going to wear. But, you know, it's that much harmony. Jeremiah 19, verse 13. Now, first of all, they're going to do this all to the queen of heaven and to other gods. Of course, the Catholic Church has a queen of heaven who is married. The mediatrix. That you pray to Mary. Hail Mary, Mother of Grace. Hail Mary, Mother of God. Pray for our sinners now in the hour of our death. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Holy Mary, Mother of God. My grandmother used to be Catholic. My grandfather used to be Catholic. My father used to be Catholic. I know all about that stuff. So you go to Mary. Mary goes to her son, Jesus. Jesus can't refuse his mother, because what good son would not listen to his mother? And then Jesus has to end up going to God and said, Mother Mary's asked me. So it's a chain of circumstances with four people in the Godhead now. Oh, Trinity doctrine says three divine persons that are eternally coexistent, but they put a fourth one in there now. Ooh. Now I'm going to give you some revelation right now. Malachi 4:5 said this. There's a fourth personage in the Godhead, and that's the bride of Jesus Christ. It's not Mary. It's not Ishtar, queen of heaven. They're talking about Ishtar, queen of heaven, because the pagan Babylonians and the Egypts, they had their mediatrixes all in the skies and different things. It was Ishtar. Amen. Notice now. But we become so one with God. We become so much a part of him. We become his wife. Jeremiah 19, verse 13, and the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the places of Tophet, because all of the houses upon the roofs, they have burned incense unto the olive host of heaven and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Let me tell you, saints of God, if you don't pour yourself out to Jesus Christ, you're going to find another god to pour it out to. I'm not talking about getting down and worshiping this statue or worshiping this or worship and adi-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all of that. No, 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 it'll be something in your life. Something, somewhere that you love more so than God. Coming to a close now. Philippians 2:17, Paul talks about a drink offering and tells us about it in New Testament terminology. And I'll read the translation of it. Let's read from the King James Version, Philippians 2:17. And yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and respect with you. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy 4:6. 2 Timothy 4:6. Very short scriptures right now to read. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, if we click on Brother Samuel, the lexicon for the Greek on this, it reads this. To pour out, Paul said, I'm going to be offered upon the sacrifice of your faith. I am now ready to be offered, in both those two scriptures we read, to pour out as a drink offering. Let me read another translation of it. Philippians 2:17. But even if I being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. 2 Timothy 4:6 in another translation. For I am ready, being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. Paul, as an example to us, described his life especially the ending part of it, as being poured out.
Thank you, Lord.
As we said last night, Paul said, my gospel shall judge the world. Paul said, if anyone, even if an angel come down and preach anything other than what I have already preached, let him be accursed. And Brother Branham said, they screamed out over in the sixth dimension, we're resting on that. He said, I preached what Paul preached. We can say the same thing, saints of God. We can say the same thing. Don't be ashamed of it. We're resting on that. Do you realize, Brother Samuel, Brother Jerry, myself, people will be judged according to the gospel that we preach, that hurt us and then turned us away, lied on us, spoke evil against us, killed our influence. I want to tell you, saints, unless they repent, they got this to face before God. You don't think God will call a minister and then not respect what he says? Do you realize God calls a man and places his word in that man, and then God honors what that man says? May we stand tonight. How many can give him a drink offering? Come with me tonight to give him a drink offering. How many's ready to pour your life out to him tonight? How many's ready to offer yourself to him? You say, Brother Bo, I did that. I have too, but let's do it that much more. How many's willing to do that again and again and again and again? Amen. Amen. Can I have somebody? Can I have somebody? How many can I have come up here is willing to pour their life out as a drink offering tonight for me? For the Lord, not for Brother Bo. Pour your life out to him tonight. How many can give him a drink? How many can give him a fresh, cold drink of Pentecostal water? From a well that you've been feasting out of and drinking out of. Bethlehem, the word of God, the revealed, unadulterated word of God that has been brought by an angel in this hour to take us not back to Orthodox Christianity, but to take us back to apostolic Christianity. Musicians, come on up here, whoever, Sister Browning, whoever. You got to give him everything. You say, Brother Bo, I'm too young. I got too much ahead of me yet. No, you don't. Now's the time. My first experience of the Lord was 12 years old. My second awesome experience with the Lord when I was 14. I was 15. And they laid hands on me in a prayer meeting. And I went over and started playing the piano and organ. Been playing ever since, and I'm not going to stop. He called me to preach when I was 17. When I was 19, I told Brother Jerry today the awesome experience that I had with him. I met, saints, I have met him. I no longer know Jesus just after the flesh or by history. I know him by the Spirit. I know Jesus. I tell the church this many times. I know him. I know him not because somebody told me about him or I read it, but I know I have met him. I have met the pillar of fire. I have had a pillar of fire experience. Oh God, just let me give more of myself to him. more myself to him. This is what he wants, saints. This is bride material getting to rapturing material. See, this is the rapture material that he wants. This is calling for rapture and grace. This, when the headstone comes, as the Bible tells us in Zechariah, the headstone comes calling what? Grace, grace, grace. That's rapture and grace it's calling for. That's not saving grace. Just because you're saved, that does not qualify you for the rapture. That's saving grace. There's sanctifying grace. There's baptism of the Holy Ghost grace. But then there's calling for rapture and grace. The headstone calls for rapture and grace. I call for it tonight. I call for it for this congregation. Put me in the key of this. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Oh, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Sing it with me, children. Oh, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Oh, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Oh, I come to thee. I kind of foresaw this as a special night, saints. Don't leave without anything being undone. Take the time right now while he's here. Take your opportunity now while the windows is open right now. There's a window of opportunity right now when the Spirit of God is moving. What you have need of, he's here to give you. Who's more than willing to give him a drink offering tonight? How many of you young people standing here want to give him a drink offering tonight? Now's the time to do it. It's the best time of your life when you're young. Amen. A lot of times when you get old, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Exactly. You're set in your ways. You got your doctrines planted all inside of you. Amen. It's hard to override them many times, those doctrines that you were taught all your life. And you try to bring those, correct those doctrines with message doctrines. It's hard to do. It's hard to get a seed out of somebody that's been planted there from a young. But when you're young and fresh and tender, the Holy Ghost can move, mold you, and make you accordingly. Of course, he can do it at any age. God is God, and there's no limits on his abilities. Brother David. Thank you.
letting them go, but you just got to let go. Put them in the hands of the Lord. You can't make anybody do anything, especially nowadays. It's got to come from their own self being. They've got to give. They've got to give it themselves. They've got to make the decision themselves.
And I've got to accept that.
You've got to accept that. And you had to make a decision. We can pray. Amen.
Exactly.
God will make you the salt of the earth. Amen. That you can be salty. And they can crave Christ in you so much that they don't want to change. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, my brother, Lord, you've helped him so much. Oh, Jesus. Thou all power, the omnipotent one, the Lord in Christ, the great Logos, the great being, the Word. Lord, come, move in my brother's life. Lord, move in his family. See his request, Lord. He's hungry for this. Father, in Jesus' name, move in my brother's life. But David, don't argue with him. Don't fuss with him. I told your daddy the same thing. And it makes things worse.
Oh, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. How many need him tonight? I need him more than ever before. Oh, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Anybody have a need from the Lord tonight? He's more than willing. The windows of heaven are open for you. The door of opportunity, the window of opportunity is here. Oh, Father Jesus. Amen. Oh, my. Let's see if y'all know this song. Keep in the key of F. It goes back to an old time song, but here's where we're at tonight, saints. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I said I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. We're on the battlefield for my Lord. We're on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, he promised him that I would serve him till I die. We're on the battlefield for my Lord. I said, now victory, victory shall be mine. I said, now victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Oh, now victory, victory shall be mine. Oh, now victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Oh, let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. I want to give my drink offering. My drink offering. I want to pour my life out. I want to pour my life out. Brother Jerry, Brother Samuel, I've come to this conclusion. If there's nothing more for me to do, if there's no more work for me, if my work is done, if it's zero in Dyersburg, which is just about. And the Lord has nothing for me to do. I pray, I offer myself as a drink offering and go on with him. If he's finished with me, I pray that he takes me. Because I certainly don't want to be on this earth, amen, without fighting in the battle for it. Amen. And Lord have mercy, if something would happen to my wife, I don't think I could live alone. That's how love we are. I'd rather I go first. If he's done with me, brothers, let him take me. I'm no longer, you brothers have got youth on your side yet. I was Brother Samuel's age when I moved to Dyersburg. And that's been over 20 years ago. You do the math now. And I'm hastening to the setting of the sun. And that comes our time in life. But I want my life to be a drink offering, poured out, poured out, poured out to him. I took on a new job back in the first third day of August the 3rd. And some people were very upset at me because I got the job. And the director of the Meals on Wheels in Dyer County, she wanted her son to get the job. Well, he had the job and he couldn't do the job and he was let go of the job. And she just carried on with this other director up the hall, RSVP, which is reservations for veterans. And they just got together and they just made it real uncomfortable for me to go on this new job. And I told him in the office, I said, look, these people that have done this, I said, I'm a Christian and I follow the golden rule. So the last month or two now, every time I see them, I smile. Oh, good morning. How are you? Oh, you look so nice today. Oh, it's good to see you. I know things are kind of rough out there delivering Meals on Wheels, but and you know what? I got them talking to me now. They would go around saying, oh, I heard he's a preacher. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Y'all believe in praying? Yeah, we're all Baptists. We're all Pentecostal. We're all this. We're all that. We're all this, Brother David. They religious to the quick. You know how it is. And they said, let's just pray. Pray that he gets out of here. Pray that he gets a church somewhere else. So Steve can get his job back. So I just as nice. One of the other directors come in my office the other day and sat down alongside him. I mean, we talked everything over and I showed him what I was doing and all and how the computer has to work and all and everything. She was just as nice as can be. The other one I see, good morning, Rosa. How are you? How are you? How you doing? I make myself go out of the way to speak. Say, that'll change people, saints. See, I pour myself out. Amen. As we stand tonight, amen. Brother Jerry, Brother Nath, whoever up next, amen. Come on, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord again. Good to be with you tonight. Good to preach to you tonight, amen.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. Oh, God is good. Time. He put a song of praise in this.
Seeing everybody here tomorrow again. Service is going to be at 5 o'clock, and we're also going to be having a get together, a dinner afterwards. Let's be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Jimmy to dismiss us.